Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not receive a worksheet. Let's slip your hand up there. I'm going to kind of slip out pretty quick after the service, not immediately, but pretty quick. My son's girlfriend's coming in, and they're going to go down. They like to keep a chaperone, and I appreciate that. So we're going down to BWI to get her, bring her up for a couple days. So I'm not avoiding anybody, but I'll probably slip out here pretty quick. And one thing I get to think about, if there's some folks, some of our members who would be willing to help with cleaning, it's really pretty going to be pretty simple over there, but just need somebody with a dust mop down through the hallways, and maybe it's not heavily used. The schoolroom will be pretty heavily used, but help us out with some vacuuming dust mopping the floor. And of course, taking out the trash and checking over the restrooms and all those kind of things. So, I know there's a few folks who've already said they were, but now that you've thought about it, if you come back and see me again, make sure you're still interested. If you can help me out with that, I'd appreciate that. Maybe we have several folks. One will come in one day, one will come in another day, and we can kind of coordinate that and not make a lot of extra work. It will be a little easier because these classrooms over here now are going to be empty until we get a chance to kind of spruce them up with some paint and some other things. And I'm going to get some adult Sunday school classes in there. But even then, that'll be used for adult Sunday school. And all adults usually aren't as hard on things as the kids are, so they should stay cleaner too. So this building here should be a whole lot easier to keep clean. It seems like, I don't know where they come up with the dirt, but they come out of that fellowship hall over here, and it seems like they make that burgundy carpet dirty. I don't know where they find the dirt, but they find it someplace. But it should be a little better once we get so this basically becomes an adult building. But if you could help us with that, I'd appreciate that. Just kind of let me know and chat with me sometime. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 20 is where we are tonight. You're going to recognize some of this from last time, but we're going to work on a last part. But I like to keep context. Context is very important. In fact, I mentioned, a week ago maybe, that lost track. I'll tell you, it's been so many things, so much water going on in the bridge in the last few weeks, I've lost track. The passage we have here in Luke, it talks about blessed are the poor. But see, the Bible, in Matthew, it says blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay? Now, Matthew 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. And I said, there's people who say, well, this is the same thing, but it's different. So there must be a confusion here. There must be a contradiction, or somebody's adding something. Okay? Well, watch me here. Go back to verse number 12 for a second. Luke 6:12. It says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Hang tight with me. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And those all the way go down to verse 16, and it talks about Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now look at verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast to Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So we have the Sermon on the Mount, but this is the Sermon on the Plain. Okay? Now, he's just like we've done around here, there's times where you use a principle, you learn a principle, and all of a sudden, 6 months later, you say, now remember, this means so-and-so. See, we try to, I think too many people take the Bible, and they take a verse out of it, and it's almost as if it says, Confucius say, and give a little saying. And like the next verse is Confucius say, and you get another little saying. Now, you've got to remember that the verses and the chapter numbers were not in the original. It's all narrative. It's all right there. Now, I'm glad they put all those things in there to help us find where we are. It really makes it very handy to be able to remember this and know where to go here. And can you imagine if you didn't have those chapter divisions and there's verse numbers? But we've got to remember that, for instance, for a long time, I heard about someone who said, they thought, well, we always heard about the feeding of the 5,000. And then someone said about the feeding of the 4,000. Well, wait a minute, which was it? Well, if he can feed 5,000, he can feed 4,000. It's a whole different group. And so sometimes we read our Bible selectively. It's just like some people have selective hearing. You know, ladies, your men have selective hearing. And some of us have selective memories. And so sometimes we kind of read our Bible selectively, and we see this, we see some, oh, that must mean here, and we draw a conclusion that was not supposed to be drawn. And all of a sudden, we're not careful, we get off on some tangent. In fact, you go back, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000. Read the context in the gospel. That was the men. The Bible actually says, plus the women and children. So it was more than 5,000. We hold him down to 5,000. It's a good chance. Now, chances are, you know how it is, the guys were out there here and there, and most of the ladies were staying home taking care of the kids. But there were some women and children there. Now, whether we can triple it, say each of them had a wife and each of them had a child as an average, so that makes it 15,000, we could. Although I think a lot of, you know how the guys are, they make the ladies stay home with the kids while they go out in town. But anyway, just make sure you understand. So this, he's using some principles here in this passage. It's not to be a parallel passage to the Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount. Wasn't intended to, it's not. We've got to read the context. All right, let's go back. Here we go. Verse 20. It says, and he, Jesus, lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye then when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, listen hard here. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We're going to stop there and see how far we can get this evening. Let's start, and we're going to have a message here, and I'm titling Practicing the Character of God. Practicing the Character of God. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing, and I thank you for your word. And Lord, this is some stuff, tough stuff. In fact, Lord, this is a good example. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. And Lord, we probably all have a little bit of that natural man still wandering around in our hearts. And it tends to kind of rear up its head as soon as we have to take a stand in faith and trust you. When you ask us to go out on a limb and we're afraid to go because we think we're going out there, no one's going to hold us up but you, and we think that's not enough. So, Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom. Pray that you'll speak to us. I know some of this is really just kind of preaching to me here tonight as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll show yourself fully and in your power. Speak to us, our hearts, and do your work, and we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we need to have an eternal perspective on life. I mentioned this last week. There are things that God asks us and asks of us that look like they are not going to get us very far in life. They look like they're not going to pay much in dividends. In fact, it looks like it's a losing battle. It looks like it's a bad investment of our lives. However, blessings are from the Lord. And so pleasing the Lord is more important than pleasing ourselves or pleasing some other man that may be able to enhance our situation. Sometimes doing what God requests appears to be detrimental to our well-being. God says that in the long run, we will be blessed as we take up our cross and follow Him. I'm sure there are people around the world who think that Jesus was a loser because He died on the cross. They probably think Paul was a loser because he lost his head. They think that Peter was a loser because he was crucified upside down. Remember that Luke is all about man and our relationship with God and our relationship between us as sons of God, as family of God. And our interpersonal relationships between us and other men are greatly affected by our relationship with God. Let me say that again. The interpersonal relationship that we have with other people is greatly affected by the quality of our relationship with God. If we cannot trust God to take care of us, to do what He says, to keep His promises, we're going to have a hard time trusting our lives in the hands of men. Watch. The only reason we can live without fear of what man is going to do is because God is intervening and overriding man's actions in our lives. Trust in God. Listen, if I have Him, why should I fear what man can do unto me? Now, these interpersonal relationships, the way we're dealing with people, it's in this passage, seems scary. It seems foolish. It seems to be nonsense. Except for one fact, and that is God is still in the mix. God is still working His plan. God still cares for us. God still loves us. He still provides our needs. Because we're talking about these interpersonal relationships here. Listen, if I have God, why should I care? Why should I fear what man can do? But see, that's what all this is about. Let me give you number one here. Who takes priority in your life? Who takes priority in your life? Are you looking to be blessed? Watch. Or to be a blessing? Are you looking to be blessed or to be a blessing? You see, we're looking to be, again, I say we, our natural man is looking to be blessed because we need more. Because we think, well, we're going to just barely survive. We're trying to just get through life. We're trying to survive. Lord, I need You. That's true. But on the other hand, as old John Earl Rice said, when he went into the ministry, he told the Lord, he says, I'll take care of your business if you'll take care of my business.
And he always looked like this because his eyes were paralyzed. He couldn't move them. So he always looked like this. And he talked like this. And then I told the Lord, if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of his business. And I found he's a whole lot better taking care of my business than I am taking care of his business.
He went into evangelism, and he was going to take, he said he was going to give his life to him and said, let the Lord provide for him. Now, I don't know. I know there's some times it was kind of slim, but I also know that he owned a ranch and a bunch of horses. So he was eternally hurting. And so the Lord took care of him. And look what it says in verse 27 there on letter B. He says, he talked about all these things. He talked about rejoicing that day and leap for joy. And he talked about woe unto you that are rich and woe unto you that are full and woe unto you that when all men speak well of thee. And then verse 27, but he said, I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. So he said, you know what, you think of me as great when everybody thinks you're the great guy, when you got everything you need in your pocket and everything looks like it's going well. He says, that's a dangerous place to be. Because as soon as we're in that position, we think we can handle it. And as soon as we think we can handle it, we're no longer trusting him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So at that point, I'm no longer pleasing my Lord because I'm no longer living by faith. So he says, contrarywise. In other words, these are other things to be, there are other things to be said. He says, I know what the world says, but God has a different perspective on these things. You think you're doing well because you have this and you have that and all this stuff. When the fact is, some of the greatest blessings is having been through the tough times when you realize, watch God provide. Brother Curtis King talked about that on Tuesday morning. Early in his ministry, when they literally went to the cabinet, there wasn't a crumb in the cabinet, and they had kids to feed. Went out and took a ride, and then just prayed with the kids. And when they got home, there was a box of food on the porch. I remember days when we didn't know where our next meal was coming, and food would show up outside our door. Checks will show up in the mail. But you see, as soon as I try to take care of it myself, God doesn't have to. And we don't get to see him work. He says, listen, and all these things you're talking about, we think it's terrible when they slander us, when they're terrible, when they're this, and it isn't good. But he said, wait a minute, look at the whole picture here. See, we think we're getting ahead by what we have of this world, and he says you're getting ahead because of what you have of him in your life, of seeing him work in your life. He says, contrarywise, he says, I say unto you which hear. You know what that means? Those that will give an audience, those who have ears that are willing to hear. But listen, there are some who are not going to listen to this. Listen, I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I got to that passage and I'm reading my Bible, I just happened to conveniently skip over it. It didn't make no sense to me. Doesn't make sense to do this. You can't get ahead this way, but it makes perfect sense with the little phrase, but God. You go back in the Bible, and often it says, da, 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 but God. You see, God changes everything. Changes your entire perspective on life. It changes how you deal with people, how you can handle what's going on, how you can handle life, the physical issues, the relationship issues. All of this, it comes at you, and you're ready just to give up and just throw in the towel. But then you got to remember, wait a minute. But God, he hasn't gone anywhere. God takes us to the bottom sometimes so that we can watch him lift us up. He says, listen, you want everybody to love you, but you're in trouble. You want everybody to like you, but that probably isn't going to be a good thing. He says, but contrarywise, I say unto you that here, love your enemies. Do good to them. In other words, that means to do beautiful, valuable, and virtuous things to those people. Do good to them which hate you. That word hate there, again, means to detest to the point that you feel like they're persecuting you. Well, I don't want to help them. They're already getting the better of me. I don't want to give them any more to
fuel for their fire. I don't want to help them out. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, but he's God. Well, but you have God in you. The Holy Spirit's here. He's working in your life. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I've had people say, well, yeah, that's fine, but I'm not Jesus. No, you're not. But Jesus lived as a Spirit-filled man. You can live as a Spirit-filled person. Not everyone is going to be willing to accept such a philosophy as this. Jesus did not come to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. You see, we want the world to love us. We want that. We think that when the world loves us, that we're prospering and getting ahead. However, the world is enmity with God, and if the world is for us, then we're probably not lined up with Him. But we say, it's okay because I have what I want. Oh, that's the problem. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. See, we want what the world has because we think that's getting ahead. But friendship with the world is enmity with God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, He says. For us to love the world is as much of an offense to God as if your spouse ran out on you. So I'm supposed to be number one in their life. I gave my heart to that person at the marriage altar, and then off they go. And God says, I gave my only begotten Son to die on the cross for them. And they took their salvation. They took the salvation I provide. They took it. And now they're out wandering around with wandering eyes, trying to see what else they can have. Instead of looking to receive the blessings of the world, we should seek to be a blessing to the world. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. You know what that is? Nowadays, it's old-fashioned. Remember the old song, brighten the corner where you are, brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar, brighten the corner where you are. Oh, we sang that. We sang it over and over and over and over and over again in the little church I grew up in. They didn't do much about it, but they liked the song. It had a nice beat to it, you know. The best way for the world to see Jesus in us and glorify the Father is to take up our cross without complaint, without resistance, and just follow Him. Letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Well, I can't afford to do that. You know everything I'd lose because of that? You know everything you'd gain because of that? Number two, practical evidence of being a child of God. So He says, I want you to find out what your priority is. He said, if you've got ears to hear, here's how I want you to do it. I want you to love your enemies, do good to them with hate you. That doesn't make any sense. Well, let's see some things here. Number two, practical evidence of being a child of God. Letter A, living with social assaults. Social assaults. Look at verse 28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That word curse means they doom, execrate, means to
utterly detest. Ah, you're a loser, you're gone, you're done, you're, you know, discouraging. He says, bless them that curse you. He says, pray, ask for God's blessing and help on them which insult you, which slander you, which falsely accuse you. That's what it means to despitefully use you. You want me to help them hurt me? Listen, you ever hear the old saying Abraham Lincoln said, the best way to get rid of an enemy is make him your friend. You know the best way to get rid of folks who hurt you and despitefully use you? Love them to Jesus. Love them to Jesus. There have been times in my life that there have been people who could not stand me, who knew that I knew they couldn't stand me. But I treated them like a regular person. I treated them like I would everybody else. And maybe years later, they'd come back when something happened. I said, would you pray for me? And I said, well, sure. You know what happens? The Bible says that heaps coals of fire upon their head, melts them down, melts them down. How do you respond when folks speak badly of you and abuse you? Listen, do you realize that God knows the truth? See, we forget, well, yeah, but he knows. What's he going to do about it? See, we wouldn't say that, but that's what we think. What's he going to do about it? He's not down here. Oh, he isn't. Do you not know that he deals in the affairs of men? Listen, kings can't even rise without him. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do we realize that God is more powerful than those that are speaking badly of us? Do we realize that God is in control? Do we realize that God loves us with an unconditional and everlasting love? Do we realize that God knows what's going on and has set the feet of those people on slippery places? Psalm 73, go back and read it. I was well nigh gone. My feet has almost slipped. Till I went to the house of the Lord, I saw their end. Seems like they're really getting away. They don't have problems like I do. This is not right. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's a lot of problems some Christians have done. They don't think real straight because they've been given a piece of mind to everybody that goes down the road. There's not much left. Living with social assaults like that. No, letter B, living with physical assaults. Physical assaults. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer, something not right there. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, got an extra word too in there somehow. There. I see how that happened there. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. The point is this. Do you seek retaliation? If you seek retaliation, the problem is that will probably set you up, make you open to be hurt again. But that's okay. He says that's what he's saying here. They got me. You say, trick me once, shame on you. Trick me twice, shame on me. You've heard that old saying. Well, trick me once and I forgive you. Well, you're not gonna take him to court, you're not gonna get him locked up. He might come back and do it again. Now, I know there's some things, I know there's law, and there's things where there's safety issues and so forth. But basically, that word was his smithy means to thump. It means to pummel. It means to club you with a stick. It means to bludgeon. So he got me. He got me good. But the idea is, I'm going to show the forgiveness. Well, he might even have another chance. You're basically giving the other cheek for him to smack. Yeah, I know. 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is if when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." How could God accept that? He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself," here it is, "committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." That's what we don't do. Commit ourselves to him who judges righteously. Well, I know he judges righteously. He probably won't give that guy what he ought to get. Now, wait a minute. Is he judging righteously or wrongfully? "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Listen, it's more like this. Somebody comes along and jumps down your throat, and we feel like we've got to turn right around and jump down their throat, because I don't deserve to be treated like this. You know, that's what we do with our children sometimes. Man, I've been there. They have no right to talk to me like that, so I'm going to talk to them like that. So what we've done, we've just taught them that when someone retaliates against them, they're supposed to retaliate against that person. When someone gets disrespectful from them, they're supposed to get disrespectful to that person. Yeah, the child, they shouldn't be talking. You don't know, listen, I am going to be 57 years old. Oh, man, that's a long time. 57 years old this year. They have no right to talk to me like that. No, they don't. They had no right to beat Jesus. They had no right to mock him, talk to him like they did. In fact, when he said, "If I've ever done anything wrong, you should have. If I was talking the wrong thing, why didn't you say something when we were in the market?" And they smacked him because they said he had no right to talk to the priest like that. And they talked to God that way. When the children came up to Jesus and wanted to talk to him, be blessed. The disciples said, "We don't have time for these kids. Do you know who this is?" He says, "Get out of here. Hey, guys, stop that. Come on, kids." You see, we make a lot out of ourselves. Now, it's okay to protect your family. I'm not saying stand there and watch somebody kill your wife or your kids. I'm not saying that. That's not what he's saying here. The attitude is, we get indignant because somebody disrespected us. Somebody smacked us hard on the face. Well, how dare you? I challenge you to a duel. On guard. I will drive you through. We'll see who's is left. He says, that's not the way it goes. Romans 12:9. I think you have that too. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, without insincerity. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know, watch me. People say, well, I'm supposed to abhor that which is evil, and that person's evil, so I need to abhor that person. That's not what he's saying. He's talking more about the evils in our own heart that's starting to rise up because we've been mistreated. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Meantime, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So watch, he's in tribulation. And he's needing to be instant in prayer. And in verse 13, meantime, distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving the hospitality. Listen, don't you know I'm in tribulation here? I don't have time to be distributing to the saints. He didn't say switch off. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own seats, own conceit. Well, you think we've got everything figured out? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I think some people say, well, he just pushed me too far. It's no longer possible for me to live peaceably. I don't think that's the case. I think you cannot force them to live peaceably with you, but you can choose to live peaceably with them. I can't stop them from fighting me, but I don't have to fight them. There's some things that's not under my control. If they want to have a battle, but they can have a battle, but I'm not showing up. I don't have to be the one. Now, do you stand on truth? Yeah, you stand on truth. Well, if you can't move and they're still coming, when you stand on truth. But there again, we're not here to kill the person. We're here to stand on truth. We're not here to take them out. We're not here to slander them. We're not here to ruin them. We're here to stand on truth. Parents do the same thing. Intimidated by their kids. And they start, yelling and doing all things. And, if you're going to do this, you're going to be in your room for 15 years. You're the mom, you're the dad. Your job's to train them. You have the authority. You all start when they're young. So they learn you have the authority. It just becomes part of the habit of life. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, verse 19, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what he's saying here. We're here to show them Christ. Meantime, God is still on the throne. He's taking care of us. Some of us think that Paul's a loser because he ended up in jail. You know, if Paul hadn't ended up in jail, there's a good chance we wouldn't have a lot of those epistles. Because he wrote them while he was sitting in jail. He'd probably been too busy to sit down and write those things or dictate them to one of his other men so we'd have it. We pray and we think our comfort means that we have been successful and that God's watching over us, when the fact is God may be putting us in a place that he's letting us build up rewards in heaven because he's found us faithful to be true even in the hard times, even when we're slandered, even when they persecute us, even when they speak evil of us. Basically saying is, be careful demanding your rights. If you're a leader, I'm not saying you can't, if you have to make a decision, you have to make a decision. If God puts you in leadership, you have to make a decision. But also, you're accountable for it. It's all said and done. You're going to stand before God and give account for that decision. But we need to be careful demanding our rights. Nothing is more of a personal right than our own welfare. And watch, he says here. And then in that verse, he says, verse 29 back there in letter B, he says, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And then it goes on, verse underneath that letter C there, 30, says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Well, let me ask you this. Who provides your needs? God. So when he asked you to be like him by providing somebody else's needs, that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have your needs met. Although it may mean that we're going to eat a little bit of beans and rice or something. Giving out of our abundance really doesn't work as well as giving out of our need. It really, it's the heart. Well, we're not going to be able to make it. Wait a minute. Now, don't go out and go down and give all your wealth away and wait for God to give it to you. I don't think he necessarily tells us to do that. But I do think there's times when he pushes and he impresses and we just don't. We just don't. Number three, walk in your enemy's shoes. Walk in your enemy's shoes. You see, we think about us. I can't believe he talked to me like that. You know what he said about me? Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know what they're doing down around town here? Do you know what's happening? As if God doesn't know. Instead of being worried about us, he says, I want you to walk in your enemy's shoes. Letter A, being a Christian is more than just following the don'ts of the Word of God. Being a Christian is more than just following the don'ts. Look at verse 31. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, I'm flesh and blood just like you. I cut, I bleed. And I can't, and there's people in here who know that I've not always been everything I need to be. But if you knew how bad I could be, a lot of times I'll go down the road and I'll be talking to myself because I got to deal with something. And I listen to myself. I let it hit the windshield and come back and hit me in the face. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of things. I think, well, I wouldn't like that. Well, that'd just get my ire up. Man, I'd be ready to smack a guy in the nose with that. And I wouldn't, but I feel like it. Well, I'm not going to say that. Well, that's no good. Well, maybe I ought to. Well, no, I wouldn't like that either. As you would have them do to you, that's what we should do to them. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? In other words, how is that anything special? Be real, pat somebody in the back because he'll pat you in the back. Be real kind to them because they like me. That guy over there, he doesn't like me. I don't care whether he likes me or not. I just... He says, for sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? In other words, why should God be impressed with that? We're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. But if our light is no brighter than any other sinner in the world, then we have no light. Our light's not doing the job. He told the Pharisees, he says, when he told the people, he says, lest your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter in. Now, he was talking about salvation by faith. But what I'm saying is, they looked like they were right along the top of the heap in the crowd. But he says, they're not going to heaven. There's no different. In fact, he says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath of come? Look at verse 34. It says, if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? In other words, you loan, the word lender means to loan on interest. In other words, to make the borrower incur a debt. They already do not have what they need, so they're trying to borrow. Now you want to add to his debt load. Well, you're a little short on money, are you? Well, I think maybe we can make a deal out of this. Let's see, how much do you need? Did you ever watch It's a Wonderful Life, the old movie? Remember when the bank goes under and he goes to see Potter? And Potter says, oh, now you come crawling. Well, let's see, I'll give you 50 cents on the dollar. I'll get you out of this, 50 cents on the dollar. And everybody knows that Potter's the bad guy. Do we take advantage of somebody who's already down? It's like kicking them while they're down. Now, the Bible says you shouldn't be a surety to anybody. Don't put your name on their loan. Be honest with you, the borrower is slave to the loan, the loaner, the one who gives the money. Be honest with you, you shouldn't give out money unless you're willing to say goodbye to it. If you're not willing to say goodbye to it, don't give it out. That's the honest to goodness truth, especially with friends. Now, you borrow money and you say you're going to pay it back, you better pay it back. You make a vow before God, God will hold you accountable, and you will never make it, you'll never be getting ahead until you pay that back. But what if they don't and you're the one who loaned it? What are you going to do? Turn the other cheek. Now, you don't have to loan them more money. Don't want to be stupid. But I forgave him. That's good. But you don't have to loan more money. We should learn learn a lesson from that. Letter B. Do not try to profit from the misfortune of others. Do not try to profit from the misfortune of others. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You see, listen, right there again, he brought the God factor back in here. Put it in context. Love your enemies and do good and lend. You know what he's saying? It says, hoping for nothing again. That means give them the money, but don't not looking to ever get paid back. Now, maybe one day he will. But that's of no consequence because we're not expecting it. If you get paid back, it's just cream on the top. Your enemy. Here. Now, that's the principle. That doesn't mean you have to loan them money because they don't have any money because they have a $50 a week cigarette habit. You don't have to. You don't have to. It's your money. But if you decide to show them love and help them out, well, don't expect the money back. He says, why? Because we're to show that we are the children of the Highest. Look who his daddy is. He is kind unto the unthankful. You know, I don't give them money. I bet they won't even say thanks. Do you realize I did so and so and so and so and so and so that person, and they never even said thank you? Listen, when I was a kid, you wrote a thank you note, you put it in the mail the next day. Tell you what. These kids these days, they just don't know how. He's gracious. He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Those that hurt others, mischievous people, derelict, malicious, sinners. When someone is in a difficult situation, we should not try to take undue advantage of them. We don't need to be kicking them when they're down. And if we can help, maybe we should. Number four. Here it is. Ready? Talked about practicing the character of God. What's the character of God? Mercy. Mercy is the character of God. You don't know what they said about me. Mercy. You know what they're trying to do to me. Mercy. You know how long they've been doing it. Mercy. Well, they're not even thankful when I show them mercy. Mercy. Be ye therefore merciful, tender-hearted, compassionate, as your Father also is merciful. John 1 tells us, we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember, God doesn't need us to fight for Him. We are to live for Him, maybe even die for Him. But we stand for God by continually allowing Him to live through us, that they may see Christ in us. If we're not supposed to treat our enemies like enemies, then there's no one that we treat like enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies, right? So who's out there that we have the right to treat as an enemy? There aren't any. There are none. You have no enemies except the adversary. Everybody else is simply a victim of the enemy. In order to not treat a foe like an enemy, we must exercise mercy. But see, we can exercise mercy because we know that everything's in God's hands. We turn it over to Him who judges righteously. Why did John Bunyan, that's right, isn't that right? John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, is that right? Sit in a Bedford prison in England all those years. And they would send, I think he had a little blind daughter, if I remember right, and they sent her in to say, Daddy, please come home. You don't have to have a license. You don't need to preach anymore. You don't have the license. Would you come home? He says, they can tell me I can preach, and they can tell me I can't preach. But we wouldn't have Pilgrim's Progress. One of the greatest books next to the Bible as it was ever written. And how many people over the centuries have been encouraged because of the Pilgrim's Progress and saw themselves, saw them here. Oh, that's where I am. Oh, I see who that person is. And they've seen past all that. Forgot about the circumstances. Saw beyond the circumstances to the end of the road, to the celestial city. That's where I'm headed. The rest of the stuff is just temporary opposition. But the victory is there. Practicing the character of God. Father, thank you again for your word, and thank you for speaking to us here this evening. I think these folks come back tonight. May we love like you love. Oh, we all come short of the glory of God on this so many times. I know I do. But may we practice the mercy and the glory, the righteousness. May we see our enemies not as enemies, but as victims of the enemy. May we love them, care for them, just as you do us. Thank you for what you're doing. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet.